Wally rode up to the house, unperceived. He tied his horse, and was at the door before Jeanie saw him. Then she exclaimed, "If it isn't Isabel's Wally!" She shook his hand, and patted him on his shoulder, and reached up and kissed him. He didn't mind that. She was practically an aunt, so intimate were the families. In her silent excitement, she brought him into her wretched little cabin, and there stood another woman, by the window, a young woman, turning towards him with sunshine on her white arms, and on the dough she was kneading, sunshine on her white throat, and on the little waves of brown hair about her face, sunshine making her fingertips transparent pink, a woman like a strong angel, beautiful in light. Wally just stared. "It's only Kirsty." Jeanie was surprised at his surprise. "Only Kirsty?"
"She was just a wee'un when I saw her," he stammered. "I didn't ken she was so bonny."
Fool that he was, idiot, yammering away in bits of a forsaken dialect. What would the girl think of him?
"It's more than 4 years you've been away," Jeanie reminded him kindly. She began plying him with questions. He answered them, realizing that the girl was covering her bread with a white cloth freshly shaken from its folds, that she was washing her hands and pulling down her sleeves, and seating herself near him composedly enough. His mother was well, he said. They were all well. It was 12 days now since he had come home. Yes, he was tired of the war. The more he saw of the girl, the tireder he got. The other boys from the neighborhood were all alive and well, as far as he knew. He looked at that girl as much as he dared. He could think of nothing to say, that is, nothing he dared yet to say. He was most stupidly embarrassed, trying not to appear foolish. He must be going. Not before he had had tea. He really didn't care for tea. He would have just a drink of water. No sooner had he said that word than he regretted it painfully. There was no fresh water. The water was all still carried a quarter of a mile from the old well. Kirsty was ready to start for his drink at once. No, he would get it himself. "Go along, the two of you," said Jeanie. They walked silently together, in a path just wide enough for one. Their hands touched at times. He grew bold to turn and study her beauty. Their eyes met, but she said never a word. They came to the well. His hand trembled as he let the pail down into it. He filled the cup and gave it to her to drink, looking straight at her. She put it to her lovely lips and drank, looking across the prairie. She handed it back to him, and he took it and her hand. The grass about the well was very high. Some way, he put his arms out, and she was in them. "Kirsty," he whispered, "I didn't know that you were here. I didn't know that you were the lassie for me." He kissed her fearfully. He kissed her without fear many times. She said only, "Oh." He held her close. After a time, how long a time it must have been to have worked so mightily, she sighed and said, "We must go back." Hand in hand, they went back, until they came to the edge of the tall grass. They couldn't miss the last of that opportunity. Out in the short grass, she pulled her hand away. "No one must see yet," she said. "Of course not. Not yet." No, he said to Jeanie, he couldn't stay for tea. He had had his drink. He had, indeed, drunk deep. He rode out into the loveliness of the distances, unconscious of everything but that girl in the sunlight. He was shaken through with the excitement of her lips. Her name sang itself riotously through his brain. He had never kissed a girl before in his life. Now, today, with Kirsty, it had been
just simply the only thing to do. She was already, by the significance of that caress, a part of him.